Blog Talk Radio. $49 a month, or get up to $7,500 in total savings on the Sonata. Visit buyhyundai.com today.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Minister Sylvia Kaiser. Prophetess-elect Cecilia Kaiser. Let's say good evening. Good evening to everyone. I hope I'm not talking over or crossing over on anyone else. I just want to say good evening to everyone and to thank the Lord for another day of life and joy to worship and pray and to praise His name. I want to give honor to God that is the head of my life, that is my Father, and to the Son, Christ Lord Jesus, for He is the Father, and the Son is the one and the only one that has the best life.
I'm here to tell you, that's not the truth. This isn't about communicating. This is about making tackles. Look at the number of new tackles you see. The effort, the energy. Make the tackle. Get to the ball. That has nothing to do with communication. That has to do with professional football players.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't know. Y'all be patient with us. Something's going on with the lines on tonight. I was talking, but I didn't know that my phone and Minister Sheila Kaiser's phone was not co-lacking with one another, you know, working together. So now we're going to try this again. Thank you all for tuning in on this Monday night with Blog Talk with Smile 3E. Iron Sharpening Iron Ministries. We are here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As you know, that I, like I said earlier, we were trying to communicate with you all, but we know that the devil is a lie. He's not going to get the victory on tonight. The word of God will go forth with the speaker that we have on tonight. I'm going to ask, is Dr. Serena Wright, are you on the line with us tonight, Dr. Wright? Well, maybe she haven't tuned in yet, but I'm going to ask Minister Sheila if she would just go into prayer for us on tonight, and as soon as we can, we would hand it over to Dr. Wright. Minister Sheila, would you pray for us tonight?
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. I just want to say I thank the Lord, and I thank for everyone who are listening tonight, and I hope everything is working right, is connecting right, and is also listening and we can all understand. And I can say thank you, thank you, thank you, oh Lord. I thank you for another day. I thank you because I thank you without you. I know we would not be, oh God. I give honor to you who are the head of my life to have loved me another day, to give me life, to praise and to worship and to acknowledge you as the one and the only one. I ask you to bless my sisters, my brothers, my children, my grandchildren. Excuse me. I ask you to bless each and every person on this earth to understand you are the one and the only one. And I thank you for understanding the life that I am living, to understand and to teach me more and to help me understand and to learn more of you. I ask you to bless Prophet Antoine Thomas, who is a young man of life with you in the words of wisdom and knowledge. I thank you to bless Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, a sister of blood and to spirit, to the knowledge and the woman of great words and knowledge of you. I thank you to bless Apostle Sandra Thomas, the woman who have known her life of love and to worship and to understand and to teach us and to understand the life with you. It wouldn't be a life of love and cherish and happiness. I thank you for blessing Pastor Troy Thomas, another young man of wisdom and knowledge and teaching and to understand the word of God through you and through your spirit. I thank you for blessing Minister Sylvia Kaiser, a sister of blood and to spirit, and to teach and to understand and the knowledge of preaching and teaching the knowledge of you. I also ask you to bless Dr. Serena Wright, a woman who could speak the knowledge and the understanding to teach us all and to pray and praise with you, and to bless Kathy Kendall, another woman that has the spirit and the knowledge and the wisdom that can teach you to praise all of us, and Minister Brandon Kaiser, another young man of spirit and knowledge, and to teach and to understand the love of you. I thank you for all my grandchildren, and to bless them and to understand and to help and to teach them and to cover them, Lord, to keep them out of the streets of the devilmen and the demons and the honorary people, the hatred, the knowledge that's going on that's right now that a lot of young people doesn't understand, that the way of life they are living is to damnation, not to a treasure of life, of pleasure and happiness, to help them understand that they are here because of you. They need to learn more of you and to understand and worship and to praise and ask you for more knowledge and to lead them through their life. Lord, ask you to bless each and every person, man, woman, child, any and every human that's on this earth, that yet you seek to give us life and to pray that they can understand that you are the one and the only one. But like I always say, God, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, because without you, we would not be. Back into your hands, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright.
Thank you so much for that prayer. Thank you, Sheila. I would like to see if Dr. Serena Wright is on the line with us now. Dr. Wright, are you on the line with us? Okay, well, we're going to go on with the word on tonight, even though we're going to wait and hopefully to hear from Dr. Wright within the hour. I just want to say this has been a month. September has been a month that I had to really sit back and just say, God, have I done what you told me to do? God, have I said what you told me to say. God, have I lived the way you told me to live? And God, if I haven't, if I've fallen short of anything you had me to do at this appointed time, God, I'm asking you to forgive me. I had to go before God, and I'm going before God right now with repenting, asking him to forgive me for not living the way he said I should live, that he have called me to live, for not doing what he have instructed me to do and not saying what he have told me to say. I'm asking God to forgive me right now, to just come into my heart and my life again and to help me to get it right. If God is not tired of delivering me, I'm not tired of being delivered. And I'm saying all that because I have a friend that passed away on September 20th, a very good friend of mine, and my sister, Apostle Elect. This was a young man when we were in the world. We grew up together, him and his brother Carl and myself and Apostle Elect Cecilia. We were what you would call running buddies. We would always meet up whenever we went out, and we knew that they had our back. They looked out for us, one of our many God brothers. He passed on September 20th, and when you would see this young man, you would see him, and he just took care of his body. He was a Illinois sheriff for 31 years, only 58 years old when he passed, and he passed from having a heart attack. But this young man is built like Atlas. His stomach is like a washboard, and he would just have muscles on top of muscles. Just he built like just a football player, just a young man. He just took care of his body, but yet he died of a heart attack coming in from work. And we were so shocked at him passing away because he didn't look sick. We didn't think he was sick. We thought that he was he had been sick in 3 years prior, but we thought he had got better. And, you know, he had all the, what we would talk about, toys like motorcycles, cars, trucks, old school cars, a beautiful little baby mansion in the neighborhood over here on the west side where the homes are very big. He owned one. And while we were being saddened over that and communicating, me and some friends that I ride with that are called just friends, we got together, and while we were talking about how we were going to ride, because we all grew up together on the motorcycle scene and hanging out, and we were all going to get together and ride, and that was on September 20th. And then on September 23rd, we were notified that another one of our childhood friends, our biker buddies, had died in a car accident. And I'm saying all that to say that I know the word of God says you never know the time or the hour that God will call you. But just to know that these things happen and how fast they happen, while we were mourning over one friend, another friend, and those two friends that passed away were very close. They both skated together. They hung out on their bikes together, and they worked out together. They were very close. And for both of them to die within 3 days of each other, that made me sit back and think and say, oh, God, what do you say when you don't know what to say? What do you do when you don't know what to do? What is it that you need to say when you're in a place where you say, oh, my God, this time it hit close to home? I remember growing up, Apostle Sandra Thomas' mom, which we called Aunt Sweetie, I remember once she said, when death comes like that close to home. And prior to those two dying, a young lady off the block we grew up on named Rosalyn, Mother Freeman's daughter, had passed away. And Rosalyn, I ever knew of Rosalyn growing up was that even as a child, Rosalyn was saved and sanctified. And when her name was Rosalyn Freeman. And to know three people that close to you, when they pass away, I remember, like I said, my Aunt Sweetie say, when something happens that close, God's trying to tell you something. And I noticed I've been listening to the radio a lot, my Cyrus radio and regular radio, and I've been hearing the song from The Color Purple. When Should They Be Sung the Song, God's trying to tell you something. And I've been saying, God, what are you trying to tell me? God, what are you trying to tell me? I'm just keep asking God, God, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to make sure that I have it right. I get it right with God. At the service, we had Dave's service Saturday, and we had Jerry's service today, and I know the preacher stood up and he said, trying to tell you something. He was just talking about how, you know, Jerry knew God, because one thing I would say about Jerry would, on Sundays, he would leave out the house, Facebook and live, saying, I'm on my way to church. Who wants to join me? He would video himself walking to church and just talking about how he couldn't wait to get to church so he can give God all his praise and give him the honor and the glory. He wanted to hurry up and get to church. Then once he got to church, he wanted you to walk through the door with him as he was Facebooking. And once he got into church, he would just show the service and how he loved God. And I'm saying that to say today at the service, something kind of like struck me in my heart as, wow. We were sitting at the repast, and it was a friend, a person sitting at the table, and the preacher was saying, know the people around you. God paying attention to the people that be around you. And I said, I thought I knew the people that was around me, but it was a friend sitting at the table, and he was saying some words. And I said, man, you can't say that. You're in church. And he gave me a look like, And I said, no, baby, you can't say stuff like that. You're in church. I said, what's wrong with you? Why you keep saying stuff like that? And he was like, what difference does it make? I said, what difference does it make? I said, you're in God's house. You're eating the food that the people of God is serving us because we're here for a repast. I said, and I started acting like Mary, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? And he looked at me funny, and I said it again. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? And I went a little farther. I said, I believe in God. You don't believe in God? What's wrong with you? And he said, we had this conversation before. You know I don't. And I looked at him and I said, no, I don't never remember having that conversation with you. And I'm saying that to say, when I heard growing up that the devil would sit on the front bench, I saw him sit in the basement and eat God's food, like the people that prepare in the basement for a saint of God. And he sat there and said that he didn't believe in God. And I was like, God, I started acting like Helen Baylor. Help my friend. I started praying for him because I said, God, I don't understand in this day and time how a person could have been through the stuff they've been through, dealt with the stuff they dealt with, and then sit there and say they don't believe in you. That kind of hurt me to my heart that somebody would actually literally sit in my face and say they don't love God. They don't know God. They don't believe God. They don't even believe there is a God. And I'm saying that to say to who's ever listening that I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Why is it that you don't love God? Why is it that you can get up every morning? It's not the alarm clock that wakes you up, and it's not your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your spouse, or whoever there wakes you up. It's God that wakes you up, that touches your finger or touches your forehead or touches your heart to say, it's time to get up. It's another day. How is it that you don't know who breathes the breath of life into you? How is it that you don't know that God is not just our God of salvation, redemption, of forgiveness? He's not just our God of another chance. He's our God of another and another and another and another, and as they say, et cetera, chances. How is it that you don't believe that God has put the sun in the sky and the moon in the sky, and he separated the heavens? He separated the waters, the water up top and the water down low. He put everything on the earth, whether from the dirt to the grass, to the cloud and the rain in the sky, the rainbow in the sky. How is it that you don't believe that God is God and he says he's God and we say he's God and we have his word to prove he's God? How is it that you refuse to believe that there is a God that sits high and look low? How is it that you can have all type of accidents and have setbacks in life, and then you look up and you just think you're lucky like that? No, Jonathan Reynolds said, I'm not lucky, I'm loved. I'm not blessed, I'm loved. And we know that God is love. How is it that you have the nerve or the audacity to sit in his house and say, you don't believe him? I just have that question on today. You can't show me proof that there is no God, but I can show you proof just for myself. I want to share with you. I don't want to use others as an example. I like using myself. I once had a problem with my heart so bad. My heart was beating over 300 beats a minute, and I almost passed out face first into a barbecue lit grill at a cookout, where some friends was able to grab me. Matter of fact, it was the same friend that said he didn't believe God. He was able to grab me before I hit the grill face first and sit me down, and I was able to get to the hospital to get help. I had a stroke 6 years later, and when they told my family, it was nothing else they could do for me, and it was no way that I was going to make it, and if I did, I would be a vegetable. And I'm talking and I'm walking and I'm back to work. I could tell you about that. I could tell you about how I went from having nowhere to stay, you know, in other words, being homeless, to in a position now that God has allowed me to get in, that I'm going to be blessed, that I could say to you, you ain't seen nothing yet. How is it that you don't believe God? I love that record said, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? And at that point, I'm going to stop for a moment to ask Dr. Wright, is she on the line? Okay, so I'm assuming Dr. Wright isn't on the line yet. But I'm going to go back to what I was saying, that I love the Lord with my whole heart. I love the Lord with him protecting Stanley Wright, my husband. I love the Lord with him protecting Stanley Wright Jr., my son. I love the Lord with him protecting Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser. I love the Lord for protecting and bringing Minister Sheila Kaiser through her tests, and I'm trusting God for a miraculous outcome with those situations and those things. I'm trusting God that I don't care what they say, but I'm saying, God, what do you say? I'm trusting God concerning Apostle Sandra Thomas. You've done it before, you'll do it again. I'm trusting God concerning Pastor Troy Thomas. no matter what people say, God, what you say. I'm trusting God concerning Prophet Antoine Thomas. God, I know what you said. I could say it to Prophet Thomas. He ain't seen nothing yet. I'm trusting God when it comes to Dr. Serena Wright, above and beyond all that she can ask or think. I'm trusting God concerning Elder Kathy Kendall, more than enough, more than enough. I'm trusting God concerning Joy Thomas. That is just the beginning, just a little bit. She's only tasted a little bit, but I'm trusting God to make her dreams come true. He's going to keep her daughter Mia while she's in college. I'm trusting God that he's going to keep her daughter Cassandra. I'm trusting God when it comes to my niece T, that it will come to pass, that he is more than a deliverer. He's more than a healer. He's more than you could even think that you know. Even when you don't understand, all working out in God's plan. What the devil meant for evil, God will turn it for his good. God will use it for his good. I'm trusting God concerning those things. I'm trusting God concerning Minister Brandon Kaiser when he once told me that God has him getting ready to do a national, nationwide, all over the world ministry. I'm trusting God it will come to pass. I'm trusting God for my nephew, Taiwan, that he will become that entrepreneur, that truck driver he wants to be, to own fleets of trucks. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God for my niece, LaVon Kaiser, and LaVon Merritt and her husband, Carlton Merritt. I'm trusting God that they will be overcomers. I'm trusting God for Lewis Carter, our cousin who was raised like our brother, that God will give him his heart's desire. I can go on and on and on and on, but I'm trusting God when it comes to my family. I'm trusting God even with my household, with my health. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. Because God said, if you send your praises up, his blessings will come down. He inhabits the praises of his people. I'm trusting God that no matter what I'm going through, I can get in his word. I'm trusting God because I'm living and believing in our foundational scripture in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm trusting God that even if someone else don't want to believe in God and love God, I do. I want to believe in him. I'm going to believe in him. I do believe in him. And I trust God day in and day out. I love the Lord with all my heart. I love the Lord with every way I know how. One thing I love about God is he said that we are a part of the body of Christ, and there are many members in the body of Christ. Everybody is not a thumb. Everybody is not a baby toe. Everybody is not a hand. Everybody is not a kneecap. Everybody is not an ankle. Everybody is not a shoulder. There are many parts of the body in Christ. And I'm asking God to please give me the ability, give me the time and the desire and the willingness and the knowledge to do what he has appointed me to do. I don't want nobody else's assignment. I only want the assignment that God has set aside for me. I don't want to walk like nobody else. You may walk like a duck, but God may have told me to be a peacock. I'm asking God to give me what he has for me. I don't want what nobody else has. I want to be able to walk. I want my spirit when I walk in a room for somebody to say, she looks like she loves God. She acts like she loves God. I heard the man of God say today. People say they're not coming to church until they get right. You say you might as well come on now because everybody in church ain't right. So when people try to say them people in that church ain't right, okay, you start with the pastor. Because none of us was right when we came to God. And if God wasn't delivering us daily, he said, let this body die daily. Let this die daily. Let the spirit in you that's not of him die daily. If we was not being delivered daily, God wouldn't be daily delivering us. So I'm saying if you wait until you get right to go to church, that you're using that as an excuse. Go to church. The word says come as you are. It didn't say stay as you are. But it's okay. You could come in like this. But if you apply God's word and God's way to your life, I guarantee you won't stay the same. If you allow God to do what only God can do, you won't stay the same. Don't look for God to change you on Sunday and then Sunday night preparing for Monday morning, you go back to the old you. Ask God daily to deliver, to direct, and to give you what you need to give him the glory. He said, some plant, some water, but God get the increase. And I'm asking God to get the increase through my life, with my life, and about my life. I'm trying to be at the point where it's certain things I used to desire, I find myself, I don't desire them no more. Certain things I'm still working on because, like I said, if God's not tired of delivering me, I'm not tired of being delivered. I don't dot every I and cross every T. I don't have it all right. But I know one thing. I'm all right with going to God saying, God, I still need you. Still need deliverance. I still need healing from old hurt, old pain. Some things we say we have let go. But if we got to keep saying we let it go, we didn't because we keep talking about it, thinking about it. I'm asking God to take those old things away. I know he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember no more, but I'm asking God to teach me how to throw it away. Teach me how to bury it. Teach me how to put the axe at the wood. I'm asking God to be God in my life, to be my Lord and Savior. Take me to the next place. And I'm asking him to take the fear away. I'm asking him to take away the they ain't gonna like me. They may get upset with me. God, how I'm gonna look. I'm asking God to just teach me how to say, Lord, for you I live, for you I die. You know, sometimes you have people that say it because it sounds good and they trying to look like the crowd. But I'm asking God to put that in my spirit for real. God, for you I live, for you I die. I don't want to be scared to die. I don't want to be scared to live. I don't want to be scared to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't want to be scared to acknowledge Jesus. I don't want to be scared to tell somebody I love Jesus. I don't want to be scared. You know, because we could find ourselves sometimes saying, well, I don't want to go into this looking like I'm overboard or I'm going overboard. But I'm going to tell you some things I've been through in my life. When I hear people say it don't take all that, yes, it do. I don't know about you, but it take all that for me. It take all that for me to stand up and holler out in front of a room of people to say, hallelujah, yes, Lord. That's for me to show that there's no shame in my praise. You know, in the world, we say there ain't no shame in my game. I want to say there's no shame in my praise. I don't just want to praise him when I'm waking up. I want to praise him once I get up and while I'm still up. I want to praise him when I'm sitting down. I want to praise him when I'm laying down. I want to praise him in my sleep. I want the first thing to come out of my mouth in the morning is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to yawn. I want to say thank you, Lord. Because when it's my day and my time, I don't want to get to the door and find out I'm not going to get to the gate. I don't want to get up there and find out my name isn't in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't want to get there and God say, go step aside. I know you're not. I don't want to get there. I want them to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want them to say, come on in. I want my mansion. I want to walk down the streets of gold. I want to see my Jesus. I want to see my Lord. I want to be up there singing in the holy choir. I want to. And while I'm down here, I want to be able to tell somebody about the Lord. I want to be able to let somebody look at me and see there's something different. You know, I've learned to, if my presence or things I say upset people, I've learned to be quiet and stay out of sight because I don't want to upset somebody or give them a reason to find fault, because sometimes your presence can throw a person off. You know what I'm saying? Throw their spirit off until they're strong enough to handle me or strong enough to deal with me, because I've never been a person to try to sugarcoat things. Sometimes I try to say what's the best way to say it, and sometimes it ain't no best way to say it. You know, sometimes if it's the best way, I try to say, well, I don't mean it the way you taking it, but I do mean what I said. You know, I'm asking God to teach me how to follow that scripture where some drink milk and some eat meat. I'm asking God to give me a total spirit of discernment where I know where to pour the milk and where I know where to serve the meat. I'm asking God to help me with that. I'm asking God to teach me when to have a meek spirit, but I'm asking them also to teach me when to have a strong. I'm learning how to say, Lord, I love you more today than yesterday. I'm learning how to depend on God. Like I say, when I've lost these three people I knew within a 7-day period that really not just touched my heart, but it hit so close home to my heart. I remember something my auntie had said to me over 40-some years ago. When it happens that close to home, God's trying to tell you something. And I just want to say, God, I don't want to leave this world, this earth, without doing what you have assigned me to do. Because I know tomorrow is not promised. I know tonight is not promised, because with those young men that I had lost, those dear God brothers, it hadn't been long since I had talked to them, since I had saw them. And for them to be taken away as in the word, as a twinkling of an eye, I just want God to get me right. Yes, I worry about other souls. But I want to make sure I write with my walk with God. Maybe it's a little selfish right here, right now, that what I'm saying, but I'm asking God to save me all over again. Deliver me. Heal me. God, I'm asking you to do that for me. And I'm asking everybody that's listening in to rededicate themselves to God. Touch and agree with me. Go before God and ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for direction. Bless you. Ask him for everything that you need to ask him for concerning your walk with God. So I'm sure Dr. Wright isn't on the line tonight, and I just want to say thank you all for taking a moment and a time out to just listen to me on tonight, and I hope you joined in with me with repenting and asking God to be the head of my life and just take over and lead and guide me. Because if I don't be anything, I want to be saved. If I don't be anything, I want to be delivered. If I don't be anything, I want to know that I know that I know that I know that when I get to heaven, my name will be in the book of life. So I'm going to ask Minister Sheila if she have any words right now and if she would like to say anything.
I just want to say words that you said are so true and they are so real and it is so right now. And I say I thank the Lord, I thank God our Father for every split second of the day. Like I say, we can be here now. Like you say, you're not promised tomorrow, tonight. We're not even promised the next minute. I thank the Lord for each and every minute that I can think. I thank the Lord constantly, and I choose to ask anyone thing that you do in your life you think is all you need to think again. You need to, like to say, go lay back down, close your eyes, and open them up again and start it all over again. Because the alarm can go off, but that don't mean you're going to wake up. We have days, minutes, seconds, years, months, however you choose, that is not promised to us. We need to realize it and to thank God and the Son, Lord Jesus, that yet you have gave us mercy and grace and blessed us with another day, another hours, minute, just another morning, however we can wake up and say, thank you. Thank him, thank him, thank you. Thank him, because without him, we will not be here to sit, talk, listen, or hear or see anything. I just want to say to Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, it was so beautiful and so true. And yet and still, to hear someone that don't believe in God is really hurting. Because this means just another person that the angels and we need to get to let them understand or let her understand. That's one belief you should never say you don't have. I'm going to give it back to you because today we need to worship the Lord because the demons and the devils are really trying to get carried away to cover us and to keep us in God's hands, in his circle, his arms, inside his fence, and to cover us with his love and his mercy. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And I ask all to pray for me for the next few months. I'm going through tests and procedures and surgeries that I'm just asking the God to cover and correct and to make it all out to be good. However he chooses for me to be, I just ask him to keep me in his hands, to do not remove his hands from me. But yet I thank the Lord because he and only he know what's really, truly best for me. Thank you and amen. Back to you, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright.
Thank you so much for those words. Is there anyone else that would like to say something at this time? I'm assuming that the lines are open. So. I'm saying, do anyone else have anything to say? Okay. seem that no one else has anything else to say. So what we're going to do on tonight, I'm going to ask you to keep Pastor Troy Thomas and his children in your prayers, from the oldest daughter down to the youngest. Prophet Antoine Thomas, him and his wife and his children in your prayers, from the oldest down to the youngest. And we're going to ask you all to pray for Monty, Apostle Sandra Thomas' other son, to keep his children in your prayers. We're going to ask you to pray for their brother, Freddie, to keep him in your prayers. So I'm going to say, on tonight, on Monday, we are here every Monday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Eastern Standard Time. We're here every Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Elder Kathy Kendall with God Still Heals. We're here every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Standard Time, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, with Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Sheila Kaiser with Let's Talk. We're also going to ask you all to keep Fountain of Living Waters Church Ministries in your prayers. Right now they are located at 4244 West Madison Street. Keep them in your prayers. I would like to ask you all to bear with me as I pray us out tonight. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to just speak to the people and just have the chance to repent and to come before you, asking you for forgiveness. We thank you for the chance to just allow us to open our hearts and our minds. We thank you for allowing us to just get before you and say, oh, God, it's me, oh, Lord. What about me? What do I need to do to get it right with you, oh, God? God, we ask you to just touch our elders, our leaders, and all the ministries that you have called. God, we ask you to just let our leaders get before you and ask you to deal with their heart, in their spirit, to make sure it is right with you, oh Lord. We ask you to teach them how to teach the people to love you beyond what I could get from you. We're asking them to teach the people how to say, God, I love you. And to ask other people, you don't love God? What's wrong with you? God, I ask you to teach us how to live a life that, for example, that shows that there is a God in heaven that we believe, we trust, and we know. God, I'm just asking you to touch all of our leaders in this world, to bring them on one accord, to know that you are God, to just turn from their wicked ways, God. I'm asking you to touch the President of the United States, to touch his heart, to teach him how to bring the people together and not tear them apart. God, I'm asking you to touch him that whatever he meant for evil, God, you will use it for your good. I'm asking you to touch him that when he thinks he's speaking problematic over the people, God, when he thinks he's separating the people, God, he's actually bringing them together. God, I'm asking you to touch his heart when it comes to the health care program, when it comes to the housing program. God, I'm asking you to just touch his heart and everyone that's whispering in his ear. God, touch them that when they say something that's going to bring division among the people, God, they're really blessing the people. That before they know what they have done or understand what they've done, God, that it has been put in place. God, I'm just asking you to be God, our one and only God. Well, I'm asking you because you said in your word that favor, you have no favor from one to another. God, we always say favor ain't fair. But God, I'm just asking you to just bless and touch your people, oh God. I'm asking you to cover every child that's going to school. Keep them covered, God. I'm asking you to touch the streets. Heal the streets, oh Lord. Take away all of the pain from the hearts. Allow these kids to go to school. Allow these kids to be safe going to school while they're in school and on their way home from school. God, just touch the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name, I ask you these things, and it is so. Amen. Don't forget, our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Until next Monday, we love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. Good night.